I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest is Bill Henderson, who is on a crusade. His late wife's four-year experience with ovarian cancer and its treatment convinced him that there must be a better way. After helping over 3,500 cancer patients in 64 countries all over the world heal themselves of their cancer for the last 14 years, Bill feels he knows why people get cancer and how they get over it. His mission is to spread that message to as many people as possible. In addition to being a bestseller author of 3 books on natural cancer healing, Bill has produced over 200 very popular one-hour weekly radio shows where he interviewed cancer doctors, dentists, and survivors. He has published 165 free newsletters to his audience of 38,000 readers. He has many, many presentations all over the U.S. and Canada on his favorite subject of natural cancer healing. Bill just celebrated his 81st birthday in January 2013. His first career was in the Air Force. He retired as a colonel after 25 years of service in 1977. He then founded a computer software business in 1978. He had architect and engineer clients in 34 states and 4 Canadian provinces. He sold that business in 1995 after he lost his wife to ovarian cancer in November 1994. Bill lives with his present wife, Terry, in San Antonio, Texas. He has 5 grandchildren and 9 great-grandchildren. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Bill, and I look forward to hearing about your views on cancer and cancer treatment. Now, first, how did you get interested in natural healing for cancer?
Well, hi, Carl. I certainly am delighted to be able to talk to you. I love your book, and I think you're doing a wonderful service for people.
Thank you.
I got started in this not exactly the way you did. It was my late wife who prompted me to explore some treatments other than the type she had. This was the early 90s. There was no internet to amount to anything at the time, and I couldn't find information that I was looking for about alternatives to the type of chemo, surgery, and things that were being done for her for ovarian cancer, and which I'm convinced now ultimately killed her, the treatment. But at the time, I knew nothing about that and couldn't find any information. So 2 or 3 years after she passed away, which was in 1994, I discovered that even then on the internet there was information about different ways of approaching cancer, which were not as invasive or damaging to the body as what she went through. And I became very intrigued with that and said, you know, why not dedicate myself to helping other people avoid her fate? So that's what I've been doing literally for about the last 15 years or so, you know, reading about cancer, interviewing people about it, and doing everything I can about it. And I hope to continue doing that for many years.
That's great, Bill. Then you work with cancer patients by coaching. And can you tell us how this works?
Yeah. The coaching I do, I've been doing this since about, 2002, I guess, when I started really talking to people on the phone about their cancers, literally all over the world. And along about 2004 or so, the load became heavy enough with people's calls from the books I'd written at the time that I had to begin charging for the service to keep it under control. And so I've done that coaching now for about the last 9 years or so. And the way it works basically is, the people who've read my book learn about the coaching, and it's described at my website, which we can talk about later. But the coaching basically is a series of videos I put together for people that kind of summarize what I think they need to think about, and some articles that are on this website that they access when they sign up for the coaching. And then we do a call of some kind, either phone or Skype or something, video conference quite often. And then after that, they have access to me basically for this one-time fee for 6 months by text messages or telephone or whatever works for them. That's how it works. And for most people, it's plenty adequate to get all the information I can give them, which really all I can do with the coaching is I'm sure you know, Carl, is give people information. I can't do specific advice about what to do about their condition and so on because of the I'm not a medical professional.
Which could get one in trouble.
Yeah, you got it.
I worry about that because I get a lot of emails from people, and I usually just say, well, this is what I did, or this is what the research says, or I couch it in terms that don't make it look like I am prescribing or whatever because I'm not a physician either. And
yeah, we have to be a little careful.
Right.
You know, people don't realize it, but if you or I suggested that this person in their condition do A, B, or C, and they did that and got worse or died, anybody in their family could sue us.
Right.
You know, so, you know, we have to be a little careful, and I make it clear to people that I give information to folks, and what they elect to do with it is entirely up to them.
Right, right. Then, Bill, what do you think are the major reasons that people get cancer?
Well, it's interesting, Carl. I've talked to now close to 5,000 people on the phone over these, I don't know, 13, 14 years I've been doing this. And about 64 countries, every kind of cancer imaginable. And what happens when you talk to that many folks, the patterns about how they get the cancer just kind of jump out at you. And it's obvious to me when I talk to people about the experience leading up to the cancer diagnosis that there are three major reasons that people get cancer, and I'll just mention them. We can talk about them if you like, but one is stress issues, emotional issues, or a stressful period in the person's life. The second one is dental toxins, which are common causes of all degenerative conditions in my experience and are involved in at least 95% of cancers. And the third one is what we put in our mouth. If those three things can be addressed and reversed correctly, generally the people I work with seem to get over the cancer and go on about their lives. So it's important, what I try to emphasize to people, that they need to focus on the causes of the cancer, not just treat the symptoms of it.
Now, would you put mind-body medicine under the stress?
Yeah, basically, there's all kinds of approaches to dealing with, as you know, with emotional issues and with the mind-body concept. Yeah, and in general, what they're all recognizing is that our mind does govern what happens in our body, and particularly the subconscious portion of our mind, which is dealing with unresolved issues from the past in most of us, things that we've been through that we think are in the past, but the subconscious may not. In other words, the subconscious has its own priority system, and it feels that things we think are resolved may not be in terms of the subconscious. And these kind of issues, I find at least, are definitely involved in chronic degenerative conditions like cancer.
And would you like to talk a little more then about the dental, since that is not talked about very much?
Yeah, because unfortunately, every one of these people I've talked to, the thousands of people, I've asked them the same question. Has your cancer doctor ever discussed your dental history with you? Mm-hmm. The answer is always no.
Mm-hmm.
How much sense does that make? Here is, in the 32 spots in our jaw, they're either teeth or where teeth used to be, and every single one of those is connected directly to organs in our body. And this is well-known, well-documented, and very much available to people in charts where they can look at a particular tooth and see which organs are affected by that tooth. It's the, well, it's a function of the Chinese meridian system, the flow of energy in our bodies. It's a qi system or whatever. It's related to how organs are affected by things distant from them.
Mm-hmm.
And the interrelation between our teeth and our jaw bone and our organs is very intimate. And what I find 95% or so of the time is that the dental toxins, which most of us have, root canals, cavitation sites where we've had teeth removed, like wisdom teeth and so on, and other metal problems, mercury and other things we have in our mouth, affect our health, and they have to be dealt with, in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And virtually all of these cause toxic load. For example, a root canal filled tooth causes something called thioethers to be made by the anaerobic bacteria inside this dead piece of bone in your jaw. And those get into the bloodstream and affect our organs. The same is true of what are called cavitation sites, where we've had teeth removed and the bone is still infected because the dentist didn't clean it up correctly.
Mm-hmm.
All of these are very, very common causes, and until they're dealt with, you know, the person basically doesn't get over the cancer, in my experience. So I try to direct people to competent dentists who can help clean up their jaw and get them well.
Mm-hmm. So not every dentist can remove the mercury or whatever safely. Is that correct?
Well, my friend Dr. Hal Huggins, who is probably the world's authority on dental toxins, studying it for 38 years or so, he says there are statistics now, and that 63% of people who get mercury removed get sicker.
Oh.
And the reason is the dentists are not adequately prepared to handle the mercury vapor when they replace mercury.
Mm-hmm.
And this is extremely important. And there are certain functions in a dentist's office that protect both the dentist and their helpers and the patient from mercury vapor.
Mm-hmm.
Ionizing machine for the whole office, for example, a huge suction machine of some kind that sucks the vapor outside. And, of course, a dam that keeps the mercury particles from going down your throat, and of course oxygen for the patient and for the dentist. The dentist has to wear an oxygen mask when they remove mercury, or they're going to get sick from it. Like my younger son died of mercury poisoning about 4.5 years ago. He was a dentist in Southern California, and obviously he didn't protect himself adequately from it, but this is very common with lots of dentists. They get all kinds of mental and health problems caused by mercury vapor, which, you know, their association, American Dental Association, is in denial about completely.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I believe you have a list of dentists that are prepared to remove the mercury safely. Is that correct?
Yes. You know, there are some organizations of dentists. Unfortunately, not all of the dentists in those organizations are really competent enough to do this correctly. So the ones on my list, there are only about 36 of them in the country, in all 50 states, are literally competent because I know that they have done successful work on clients of mine, and that's how they get on the list and how they get off the list if they don't do successful work, if I get feedback on them that's not positive. But this is 36 out of 167,000 dentists in the United States.
That's not a good percentage.
No, not at all.
Then, Bill, why do you think so few people survive conventional cancer treatment?
Well, it's a good question that's been studied a lot. Basically, all it is attempting to take care of something caused by a weak immune system by further damaging and challenging that immune system. You know, cancer, as I try to teach people, cancer can better be thought of, thanks to my friend Mike Adams at Natural News, who thought this one up, it's best thought of as SISD. SISD, what does that mean? Well, it means sluggish immune system disease. Mm-hmm. That's what cancer is. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it that way, it makes absolutely no sense to put poison in your veins in the form of chemo or in your mouth or wherever, or burn these cancer cells with radiation that damages other healthy cells and spreads the cancer through your body and so on. Or even cutting out cancers. In most cases, cancer surgery, in my experience, is completely unnecessary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, causes more damage than it heals. But this is the standard of care for the medical system, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Then, should cancer patients look for care in a clinic? Or is it best to try to heal themselves at home?
Well, yeah, good question, Carl. I urge people to try because in most cases the cancer is not something with a time limit on it that you're going to die if you don't get treatment within the next few weeks or whatever. In almost every case, the cancer patient has months of time to work on their reversing their cancer, and I urge them to try the self-healing method first because it does work for most people. Like the clinic is, in some cases, a wonderful kickstart for the person to get to learn how to heal themselves. But you know, at the end of the clinic period, the person has to go home and complete healing themselves. You know, they. A few weeks at a clinic doesn't heal people of cancer generally. So in order to avoid that expense, which may be unnecessary, I urge people to take at least 3, 4, 5 months, whatever they're comfortable with, and try these self-healing methods that we describe in our cancer-free book. And also, of course, try to reverse the cause of the cancer, the dental toxins issue, the emotional problems, if any, change their eating habits, obviously, and supplement taking and so on. Do all those things for several months and test their progress. And if they're not making progress, obviously, the clinic is one option then at that fork in the road, if you want to call it that way, that when they decide what to do. But for most people, the evidence after 3 or 4 months is so obvious that what they're doing is working that they just need to continue.
Then what is your protocol for cancer treatment? Can you give us an overview?
Yeah, surely. Quickly, it's about 7 different things that we recommend. Dr. Garcia is my co-author in this cancer-free book. We both agree that, you know, for self-healing, there are about 7 things that are necessary. You have to rebuild the immune system. So we have a good product called Transfer Point Beta-Glucan we recommend for that, which works very efficiently. You have to eat something that is healthy enough to restore the uptake of oxygen by the cells. That's one of the critical things that cause cancer. So we recommend cottage cheese and flaxseed oil as a wonderful mixture for doing just that. We recommend something called barley power. Barley has a wonderful features, one of which, of course, is alkalinity. Another is a large dose of enzymes of all kinds in the human body. Barley is important, so we have people take that. We also have them take a mixture that basically stops the metastasis of the cancer, which is what kills cancer patients. Mm-hmm. Metastasis, mm-hmm. as you know, is mm-hmm. the problem. We also recommend vitamin D3, which is an essential part of healing, we found. We're all deficient in it, and it is not a vitamin. It's a hormone, mm-hmm. one that all of our cells need to be healthy. We recommend a vitamin mineral mixture, a wonderful supplement called from Daily Advantage, which Dr. Williams worked out many years ago. And finally, of course, a cancer-fighting diet. We try to talk to people about both cleansing and detoxing, but mm-hmm. also what do we eat daily that is healthy. Mm-hmm. So all those things are necessary, we found, and they're all, well, they all kind of come at the cancer from a different angle, so they're all necessary.
Mm-hmm. I was having some health problems, and I was referred to a medical intuitive, and one of the things that he wanted me to do was the Budwick diet, and so I mm-hmm. tried that for about 10 days, but I was putting on weight, and at my age, and I'm overweight anyhow, I didn't need to be putting on any more weight, so I stopped it. I think it was because of the flax oil. It just seemed to have too many calories in it for me, so...
Yeah, well, nothing works for everyone, as you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, very nutrient-rich substance when you mix them together, particularly the way I mix them. I put nuts and berries and stuff in there to make mm-hmm. it taste better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little stevia and so on to mm-hmm. make it, and some liquid. But, yeah, it's a pretty high-calorie breakfast for me, mm-hmm. but I eat it every day. And
oh, do you?
Have for about 13 years and so on, and I'm not quite as old as you. I'm only 81 years old.
Right.
I'm feeling pretty good, and I think I attribute a lot of it to that mixture,
oh, do you?
Really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think for cancer patients it might be good because they tend to lose weight, but I'm not sure if
yeah.
that's from the cancer or if that's from the conventional treatment that causes them to lose weight.
Yeah, usually it's both.
Is it? Yeah.
So yeah.
It might, you know, help to keep their weight up. But for me, as I say, it was putting on some pounds that I didn't want on, so I
yeah.
stopped it. Now, you mentioned the immune system and detoxing and all. And do you recommend probiotics?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
These are contained in... at least some of them are in the multivitamin mineral we mm-hmm. recommend, but mm-hmm. it's not a bad idea to supplement that with other probiotics. And generally, you know, the balance of the bacteria in our gut, which is what the probiotics are working on generally, is helped a lot by the cottage cheese flaxseed oil.
Oh.
It does a good job of helping to balance the bacteria. So, yeah, but probiotics, in my experience, are quite helpful.
Mm-hmm. And what about fish oil?
Well, fish oil, unfortunately, does not have the same features as the good sources of omega-3 and omega-6 mm-hmm. that we recommend, which is basically flaxseed oil. If it's prepared correctly and it's not rancid and so on,
mm-hmm.
It's a better source than fish oil for a couple of reasons. One is, you know, Dr. Budwig did a lot of experimentation with fish oil and other things and found that the flaxseed oil was much more efficient. But basically, it is not as subject to things like mercury and PCBs and things like that that fish oil
mm-hmm.
frequently has in it. So, but, you know, with the flaxseed oil, you really don't need the fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you accept, you know, Dr. Budwig's approach,
mm-hmm.
That really takes care of all of the EFA and EPA, all of the essential
mm-hmm.
fatty acids that our body needs, basically.
Mm-hmm. I interviewed Brian Peskin maybe 2 months ago, and he was very anti-fish oil, but I hear other people talking about the value. Now, for me, and the value of it, and it probably would work with the flax oil also, is that when I use the computer for hours every day, I tend to get dry eye unless I make sure I'm taking my vitamin E and fish oil, and that seems to take care of it. But the flax oil might do the same thing. I think probably it's just getting adequate oil and vitamin E.
Yeah, well, nothing works for everyone, and there's so many opinions around that you kind of have to sift through those and figure out which ones you want to accept and so on. I found I've had to do that over the years, you know, kind of dismiss certain things and accept others and so on. And I learn something almost every day, as you probably do too.
Right, right.
None of us know it all, frankly.
Then, Bill, currently people are talking about the ketogenic diet for cancer treatment. And what are your views on that?
Well, I don't think that's very smart, frankly. You know, it's kind of a radical approach, and I don't like those approaches. I like people to take something more sensible. You know, there's a macrobiotic diet. There are lots of different diets around. I don't like the word diet anyway. It's eating habits that we're talking about here. The ketogenic, to me, has too high a protein content, and it's sort of similar to what Dr. Atkins was recommending back in the 90s and so on. I don't think that's anything. And in most cases, what people need to do is modify their eating habits, but not drastically, because most people are not going to stay with that kind of thing if it's a drastic change anyway. So, you know, there are certain things they have to avoid, sugar, processed food, dairy products, animal protein if possible, and certainly gluten, bread, cereal, pasta, et cetera. They have to avoid those things because they are promoting the cancer, but you know, beyond that, the high vegetable and fruit content and raw food, ideally, with the cottage cheese flaxseed oil, generally is good for most people.
I was interested, and I asked someone else about the flax oil because it does contain cottage cheese, which is dairy. But I was told that when it's mixed with the flax oil, it has a different chemical composition.
Absolutely. You know, this is why I recommend this. Obviously, I tell people avoid dairy products. Well, when you mix these two together, two things happen, two very important things. One, the cottage cheese loses its dairy properties. The casein, the lactose disappear, basically, because a new molecule is formed that does not have those properties. So they have to be mixed well together. At the same time, the oil becomes water-soluble instead of oil-soluble. And making it water-soluble, of course, makes it much more available to your cells. Those two things seem to be the secret behind this mixture and why it is so helpful, because the products, really flax oil by itself, is not particularly healthy, particularly for certain cancers that are hormone-related, you know, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, prostate cancer, and so on. Flax oil is not healthy for those kind of people. But the mixture is completely different. It's a molecule that's unique, and that's what our friend Dr. Joanna Budwig found back in the late 50s or whatever.
Then, Bill, do you have parting words before we look at your books and services and how the listeners can reach you?
Yeah, I'd just like to encourage people to take charge of their own health care. For gosh sakes, don't trust doctors to heal you. In my experience, death from cancer is completely caused by lack of information. And if you can get the information you need, you can heal yourself, and you don't need to rely on cancer doctors particularly. Obviously, there's some great doctors around, wonderful holistic physicians that I know that have healed lots of people, but as far as I know, among the cancer doctors, particularly at the large cancer centers, you're never going to learn anything that you need to know about healing. You're just going to get treated.
Right, right. Now, Bill, then, would you tell us about your services and your books and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure, yeah. The best source is my website, which is beatingcancergently.com. I'll spell it B-E-A-T-I-N-G, and then a hyphen, cancer, C-A-N-C-E-R, a hyphen, gently, G-E-N-T-L-Y.com. At that website is an opportunity to learn a lot about what I've learned about cancer without spending any money. A couple of years of my newsletters and some articles that I've written and so on. And hundreds of testimonials from people and information that they've posted on the website. And you can buy my book there, the cancer-free book that Dr. Garcia and I are the co-authors on. And you can subscribe to the coaching service, which requires that you've read our book. But all of that's available at the website. So that's mm-hmm. probably the best way to mm-hmm. get started.
Great. Well, I appreciate this very much, Bill. It's been interesting and will be helpful for those who want to use a natural approach to treatment, which I hope will increase dramatically in the future.
Oh, I'm convinced it will, Carl. And God bless you and the work you're doing, because this is how people get the information they need to save the lives of themselves and their loved ones. They need people like you, and we need to keep trying, basically.
Right. Right. So thank you again, Bill.
Yeah, thank you, Carl. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Good. Bye. Denise Marie, publisher of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com, has brought us another great magazine, the spring 2013 issue, that is filled with inspirational stories and music, as well as information on social, health, and life issues. Because of my years working with homeless populations, I was immediately drawn to the story and trailer on Homeless to Hollywood that tells of a girl with a dream of being an artist who was also homeless and afraid of telling her classmates because she thought they would make fun of her. She and her family moved from shelter to shelter over 30 times, but she continued her dreams and painting to become an artist. The recent documentary in her name won an Academy Award for Best Documentary Short Film. Another human interest story is about Tim Harris, a restaurant owner who gives out hugs to all customers. Tim, who has Down syndrome, lives a productive life and talks about his life, marriage, and future. Two musical segments were memorable for me. One was the story and music video of Sister Rosetta Thorpe, the godmother of rock and roll, who performed in the 30s and 40s. This great music brought back memories of visits to the jazz and rock and roll clubs when I lived in New York City in the 50s. The second segment was a video by Josh Groban singing his new song, Brave. He has sold over 25 million albums, and many of us know him and his music. Social issues, including the fracking potential in New York State, the FDA approval of aspartame as a hidden, unlabeled additive in milk and other dairy products, the harmful effects of the microwave, the dangers of five chemical companies taking control of our seeds and its influence on food safety and diversity, and stopping violence against women with February 14, 2013, the V-Day to involve 1 million women and those who love them to walk out, dance, rise up, and demand and end violence. As the new Healthy Living editor, I wrote an article on holistic approaches to preventing and treating wrinkles without surgery, and also interviewed Dr. Fred Pescatore on natural ways to deal with seasonal allergies. Last were articles on Ann Richards, the 45th governor of Texas, and the new one-woman Broadway show on her life, and another story about her daughter, Cecile Richards, who has been a strong advocate for women and involved in issues ranging from Roe versus Wade to more recently joining Planned Parenthood as president. With these and other stories, you won't want to miss this issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. Leanne Biafora has over two decades of experience in the healthcare industry. With a unique combination of experience as a certified oncology nurse and a leader within the healthcare business sector, Leanne has devoted her career to assist cancer patients within active care settings, academic medical centers, and community settings. She understands the growing complexity and interconnectedness associated with cancer care because of her experience in oncology nursing, including infusion, clinical trials, inpatient and outpatient settings, hospital administration, including case management, discharge planning, quality improvement and staff development, and insurance administration, including managed and developed cancer care management and chronic disease management programs. In addition to these applied experiences, Leanne has academic training as a cancer patient advocate and business leader as a registered nurse, oncology certified nurse, certified care manager, certified professional in healthcare quality, and a master's of science in healthcare administration. Leanne founded Beacon Oncology Nurse Advocates and dedicated her life and work as an independent health advocate specializing in working with cancer patients and their caregivers. She will talk about this venture. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Leanne, and I look forward to hearing about nurse advocacy and cancer. So first, what is the Beacon Oncology Nurse Advocacy?
Beacon Oncology Nurse Advocacy is actually a company that has been recently formed to really address the needs of cancer patients and their families who they're to meet the needs of the gaps that the fragmented healthcare system currently has in existence today.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we help individuals with cancer. Either our goal and our mission is to become to help them become empowered through making informed decisions and a shared decision-making model with their physicians.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, we meet the patients where they're at. We don't make them fit into a system.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever they're at, if they are interested in more alternative or holistic approaches to care, we help facilitate that by looking at their treatment options and then also providing those recommendations to them so they can really then go forth and discuss that with their physician or reach out and facilitate that
mm-hmm.
as an option for them.
Mm-hmm. And why would a cancer patient choose a nurse advocate to help them navigate?
Okay, well, oncology nurses, what we pride ourselves are, we are certified oncology nurses. What that entails is over 4 years of in-depth oncology experience with a proven knowledge of competency within the whole realm of oncology nursing care. We practice within the scope of the nursing practice. We do not direct care. We do not prescribe care. We really work within the scope of nursing practice. And how we do that with cancer patients is we help understand. We know patients. Physicians often know cancer and disease processes, but we as nurses understand the cancer patients, some of the challenges that they are undergoing, the vast complexities of the treatment regimens, the insurance aspects. We have a very unique aspect there because we are case managers as well, have worked in insurance case management. But most important is that oncology-certified nurses, they know that how to anticipate problems. We can eliminate barriers. We understand the whole trajectory of cancer care, the cancer care process. And so what we are able to do is we are able to meet the patient or the individual's cancer where they're at. At any point in the spectrum of cancer care, we can come in and identify or with them identifying their most important needs and wants, address that, and problem solve. And in addition, we can help them understand their treatment options to see what if they've been undergoing treatment, to understand and make sure that they are fully aware of the staging of disease, their treatment options, how it may relate to evidence-based guidelines, and therefore they are becoming more informed and able to make informed decisions.
Mm-hmm. And what are the qualifications of the nurses that are involved?
We at Beacon Oncology Nurse Advocates retain oncology-certified nurses. Currently, we've started out within this past year, but we do hope to also bring on social workers. With the new Obama, with the Affordable Care Act, with all the changes that are undergoing now, that are currently underway, there have already been changes with plans and benefits and lack of access to care. So we will help look at community resources and different avenues for financial resources, as well as community, you know, transportation and so forth. So we feel that because our company will be successful in the state of Florida to begin with in the next 3 years, focusing on this area, we realize that the psychosocial needs will be greater, and so we hope to then retain social workers to incorporate them into our practice.
Mm-hmm. If it continues as it is, there should be a big need for social workers, because what I'm finding is that my doctor tells me he can only see me once a year because...
Mm-hmm, because you're a survivor.
Right, and because I'm in good health, he says, even though mm-hmm. I'm borderline diabetic, I'm borderline thyroid, I'm a survivor, etc. But he says that Obamacare only allows one visit per year for health promotion and prevention. So I said it's then really sick care and not health care. And so
right.
It's a misnomer to call it health care. And I would think that there probably would be more people that need some care more often than once a year when they reach my age, which will be 81 in about 3 months.
Right. And that's the case, is that we will advocate for those specific issues. Survivorship mm-hmm. issues are great, and there are many issues that are left unattended. Often the quality of care is focused on, you know, physicians, oncologists are so stressed and they have all the best intentions, but because of their limitations and time limitations, resources, and so forth, they are pressed. Their time is pressed, and so they have to focus, they really focus their attention on those most severe individuals. And often, and it's well published about the survivorship issues, that folks really need to have more encompassing, comprehensive care mm-hmm. because they are often at risk for secondary and malignancies, or they may have some other, like you said, that you have mm-hmm. some other issues that could have been prompted from your treatment, perhaps. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not always the case, but that certainly can come into play. The most important thing is we help in to facilitate survivorship care plans, which is really the standard of care. Every individual that has undergone a survivorship or remission and has been considered a survivor really ought to have a survivorship care plan, which entails their full history, medical history, their treatment regimens, any complications. And it's a very quick 1 to 2 page summary that allows wherever you are, and at one, you know, maybe if you were traveling, you would be able to gain access to that and share information quickly. Because as cancer survivors, you have a different level of needs, and they often go unattended.
Mm-hmm.
So I disagree with that once-a-year approach. I wasn't aware that it was that. Is that under Medicare, Carl?
Right, right. Yeah. And
so
that's a
challenge. And
right.
What we would do is we would advocate for individuals to be seen more often if they have an issue. We could help facilitate that. Also, there are different programs out there that would provide extra resources, and we are very diligent about looking out for our clients and seeing if there, you know, if that was an issue with finances, we would help eliminate those barriers.
My sister said that she has the same, that her doctors told her she can come once a year. Now, fortunately, mm-hmm. I can pay for other services, but we will end up with a system like they had in England, where they have a system for the wealthy and a system for the people that can't afford to go outside the main system. Because mm-hmm. being public health, I believe that early prevention, early detection is very important.
Absolutely.
And so previously I had been having lab done every 4 months so that if there was any problem, it was picked up early. Now what I do is I have a medical intuitive that I consult regularly, and if there's any deviations, he picks them up. I spend mm-hmm. probably $4,000 or $5,000 a year on supplements, but there are people who can't afford to do that because they don't mm-hmm. have the financial resources. So,
right.
Again, I think that there would be more need for social workers in your program, as you say, because of the changes in the Medicare and in the Obamacare.
Exactly, right. And they're gonna be becoming more prevalent, I think, as time progresses. I think it'll be more evident and not as hidden.
Right.
The most important thing is with the insurance aspect, with respect to insurances and payment. You know, with all the healthcare exchanges and all the open access, or increased access rather, is going to increase premiums, and that's going to force employer groups to change their benefit structures. And then there's, in addition to cost sharing onto the employee
mm-hmm.
and the employer. And it's going to be a very interesting shift within the landscape here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So we are really positioning ourselves to help individuals through, you know, as advocates, because, you know, there are many people that have Medicare, but they will want to have an additional advocate really speak up for them and then drive it to make sure that they are making informed decisions. So they are, you know, they are often not equipped with the knowledge and the experience as we are. So we can help understand and identify the key issues and eliminate those barriers. But right now we are a for-profit company with the intention on, we are very data-driven, and we collect data on how our interventions have improved the cancer care experience. And what we hope to do with that is to take that to begin to start contracting with insurers. And then also, we hope to then start a foundation as well as a new type of program, which is very similar, but for the Medicare, Medicaid population.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just starting out, and the oncology nurse navigation role does in fact improve the cancer care experience and the quality outcomes of mm-hmm. cancer care.
Now, how do you see your role differently than the public health nurse?
I see that the public health nurse is restricted. If there's an individual that wants a different type of, they're constrained by who's paying for them. We are being paid by the client, the patient, or their family. So we are able to, we're only beholden to them and to meet their needs and wants. So that's that's the main difference between someone that is working for another institution or organization the public health nurse is more, they are not an oncology focus, unless you're speaking of specific oncology-focused public health nurses. Is that just for clarification?
No, I was just speaking of in general, because they do advocate for a variety of different health concerns, right?
Absolutely. But they are not experts often in oncology, and that is the key. Oncology is a very different level of understanding its complexity. With increases in technology and diagnostic testing, we know so much more about the behavior of cancer, in particular cancer subtypes and genomic information, that really there are often in practices within the United States that I could only speak to. There are practices where there's variation, great variation of how physicians practice with the same type of cancer. You will have variations in, let's say, lung cancer with a stage 4, and they have a mutation called EGFR. Well, there's often, within the last year, I was part of a consulting group, and they often were not tested. The EGFR mutation was not often or consistently tested throughout the United States within the community setting. So there's a lot of challenges that if you're not informed and you're not understanding of what questions to ask, then you're really beholden to the beliefs as well as some of the constraints that the physician may be undergoing. So perhaps there's some financial constraints. There may be some lack of understanding of the new technologies that have come out. And they are often too busy to focus on and hone in on those areas. But that's not to say that all physicians are doing that. I'm just saying I'm speaking of the importance of having an advocate to be able to make sure that they are, if you had lung cancer at stage 4, we could then focus our attention on that. And if you were interested in international clinical trials, we could focus our attention on that. If there is an interest in alternative or integrative approaches, then we would focus our attention on that and helping provide a recommendation, a list of providers for you to choose from and to consider.
Leanne, then, would you give us your website and how listeners can reach you?
Sure. It's www.beacon, B-E-A-C-O-N, advocates, A-D-V-O-C-A-T-E-S, and we focus on navigation and advocacy for cancer patients.
And I think you said that this is a national, right? So it's not just limited to
Florida. No, this is currently, we're starting small. We are starting in the state of Florida, and then we hope to grow the company and the model throughout the United States.
Right. Okay, great. Good. Well, thank you very much, Leanne. I appreciate this.
Thank you so much, Carl. Right. It's been a pleasure to be with you today.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I invite you to my website, where you will find all of the past shows archived for your listening pleasure. You will also find a sign-up sheet if you're interested in having these mailed to you. You will find a sign-up sheet for a free monthly newsletter. And you will find a store where you can purchase my two books, one on healthy holistic aging and the other on beating lung cancer using natural interventions, as well as a CD on stress management, a holistic approach, and a CD on sleep, a holistic approach. You'll also find an ebook on cancer and other topics. This website is www.holistichealthshow.com. On my other website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find information on my lung cancer book, which includes the table of contents, endorsements, some of the shows that I have been interviewed on, and discussed the content in the book. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.